welcome to the teaching ministry of North Coast Church in Vista, California. We invite you to please open your Bibles as we join Pastor Larry Osborne for today's message.
Hey, it's so good to be with you again this weekend. I know I've been gone a number of weeks. I've got the cards and letters from some of you wondering what's going on. It's kind of like Little League and Pop Warner, though, around here. You know, everybody's got to get their plays in. And so I gave Chris a couple of weeks, but I'm back. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to be taking a look at the book of Acts. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 16 as we continue.
You don't need to turn to Acts chapter 16. Larry,
what are you doing? This is my week.
I know it's your week.
It's my week.
There's absolutely no one here right now.
Well, it's a Charger game, so what?
It's not a Charger game. It's Week in the Service. I brought you a shirt. We're going to go find out what everybody's doing, where everyone's at, because Week in the Service starts right now.
Very first stop of the day, we're at Mission Meadows Elementary School, right out here at Jeffries Ranch. We've got a ton going on. Construction projects where they're building new awnings. We got landscaping going on, painting some murals, painting the handball courts, a ton of stuff on the grounds, and I think they were expecting us. How cool is that? Let's go see what's happening. Come on!
All right, we got some digging going on here, right? How deep are you digging this thing?
Well, it's very slow progress, but it's only 6 inches
very
down.
Very slow. You've been working 5 hours, I see,
yeah.
And you're about a quarter inch down, right?
What are you guys doing today?
I'm doing some work.
Are you doing some work? Are you doing some work, too?
Yep, digging.
All right, we got Chris Brown over here running with the team. Ready? Show them what you got, Chris. You know, with a little age and experience, you learn not to make a fool of yourself.
All right, they told us 125 people will be on this side over the course of the weekend. You know what? Last year I wanted to interview you, and a piece of wood had knocked your head right before that. What are you doing this year?
I don't know, making a mess. We're really good at it. So.
Well, we got an office building over here that we had a roof that we removed on Friday. Stripped the roof. We found there was a lot of dry rot and termite-infested wood, so we had to take the bad lumber off, put on a new patio, new fascia boards. Now we're getting a chance to start with a new roofing.
So what are we making right here?
Border for the sign at the front end.
Ah, okay. Well, why aren't you doing it at the front?
There's no power over
there. There's no power. I love smart guys on a project day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very first lady of North Coast Church in action, Nancy Osborne. You know where Larry's at?
No.
Again, we don't know. You know if Larry's working today?
I don't think so.
That's it. That's the answer we're looking for.
Sorry about that.
All right, so some people bring their gloves, some people bring shovels, rollers. Tell us what you brought to the site.
A little tractor.
Little tractor.
Little tractor.
I heard you've been pretty busy on your little tractor.
Yeah, I've been digging dirt and moving dirt and leveling the ball field now.
Got a little window cleaning going on here, huh? Okay, how's it going?
Great.
Aren't you glad those are small windows?
Yeah. I got them in those big windows over there this morning.
We're cooking carne asada out back, which is really important and probably why you're here.
Is this about time for carne asada?
Yes, it is.
We came to make sure that project was going well.
Yes, it's going extremely well. And then we have 5 chapels that we're cleaning and getting ready for their services. And we're doing tons of landscaping and a children's playground, as well as out front we are doing a succulent garden and a prayer garden for the chaplains to counsel people in.
Okay. Hey, being a church project, I'd love to see a guy on his knees. How are we doing here?
Oh, having fun.
Okay.
With Peyton, huh?
No, I'm putting in a chair rail because they beat the walls too bad. And we're trying to make it childproof.
So here's the story at Carlsbad High School. The snack shop is way down there. Parents have to volunteer, but they can't see their kids play baseball from down there. So some men from North Coast came and they poured the concrete cap. The baseball team has bought the container inside now and weekend of service. They're framing it out, putting electricity, cut the holes in. And right now, parents, you have the best view of the baseball field to serve and watch your kids. I love this stuff.
This is one of the kid-friendly sites. How's that worked out?
It's been great. The kids have been painting all day. They're in here helping cut back the plants. It's great to have the energy, that's for sure.
As you can see behind us, we are at Valley Middle School here in Carlsbad with our project manager. Tell us
a little bit of what's going on here.
Well, my name is Chris Owen, and we're here at Valley Middle School, and we're doing a bunch of things today. We're painting handrails and going to paint this building behind us in a few minutes. We got a whole crew down in the MU. They're painting 5 murals, and we kind of redid a native garden over this way. Tomorrow we should do some irrigation and planting out on the field.
Well, here we are at the weekend of service. The kids are playing and we're working. Great combination.
Right now we've undertaken, we have 4 concrete dugouts going on. We have 3 service buildings that have new roofs, new siding, new paint. We've got new irrigation going on. We've got new batting cages with their grading out underneath, new nets going up. We're all over the 11 acres here.
Well, here's a good shot of San Marcos going from a lot of gray to a lot of blue, right?
Right.
How's it been going?
Going great.
But it is looking phenomenal today. The letters are up. The entire hillside has been weeded. Ground cover on it.
Well, this is, as I said, a unique way to worship here on a Sunday morning. Now, what's going on right now?
I'm almost done here giving my blood.
What was your favorite part about the day so far? And if there was one word that could just kind of sum up this whole experience for you, it would be...
Lunch.
You heard it right here for junior hires. Lunch.
There were 3 guys there from the city that were looking, trying to figure out what this weird group was doing, and I was getting water and overheard the conversation, and the conversation went like this. What are they doing? They were here, you know, because they needed a project. And he said, which church are they from? And he said, I think they're from North Coast. And he said, this is amazing.
Well, buddy, it looks like we're done.
Isn't it amazing? Day 2 winding down. We've had over 5,500 people involved. We have reports of 1 person fainting, 1 incident where someone needed stitches. Oh, yeah, the water geyser. Someone hit a water main and broke it. We're not saying where, nor are we saying we actually did it. But that is the rumor at this point. But every promise that I know of was fulfilled because all of you did such an amazing job.
You know, it's just, I think it has a huge impact on our church, a huge impact on the community, and for you and me. Hey, sure beats preaching.
Yeah, especially Larry's preaching. So we want to thank all of you for what you did, because none of this would have been possible. Every place we went, the lives that were touched, I don't think we'll know on this side of eternity really the impact it's had. So let's do it again sometime.
How about a week you're scheduled?
How about a week I'm scheduled? I'll do it. Maybe next week. We'll tell you. Set. Let's go home.
That's not fun.
Well, hey, there's a lot more of that to come, a lot more projects that even today you'll get to take a peek at and see what's happened, but that was fun stuff.
That was really cool, especially getting to Chris schedule it so we were at lunch at every site. I don't know how he did that, but no, it was just an amazing weekend, as 18 months ago when we did our first one, and it was so fun to see what God was doing in the community and through us and in your lives as individuals. Kind of looking back, Chris, I wonder, what kind of jumped out to you the most?
Yeah, you know, we'd show up at sites and we'd hear about these heroes. And it seemed like some sites had just some common people going to some uncommon lengths to make sure stuff was done. I just got to give a hand to a lot of you that are in the trades that understood some of the projects that we were doing and just jumped in and didn't give a time spot, but gave an entire weekend. And in many cases, we heard, hey, there were people here for the last 3 weeks just prepping the job, getting stuff ready, moving their equipment in. And that was huge. Some of you just have your own equipment when it comes to carpentry or painting, when it comes to the plumbing stuff, when it comes to roofing. And you just basically moved your whole company onto a site and let a whole bunch of volunteers work with the stuff that you do for a living and just said, hey, we're going to make sure this thing gets knocked out. That was huge. And then it was the small, you know, from those that just give probably 4 or 5 days on a project to those that showed up for their 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours, and they just weeded an area or they just painted an area. And that's what struck me. I would walk around and see just the little jobs that were being done and being done well that were so, maybe if it was just you out there, would seem so insignificant. You're like, I'm weeding this area. but when you combine yourself with 200 people on that project over the course of a weekend, the amazing, amazing stuff that was able to happen with just individuals doing little things and doing little things well. And to me, that was huge, huge. Yeah.
Well, I think I learned a couple of things. First of all, make sure Nancy always knows where I am. So, but the second thing picks up on what you were saying, and that is, As we'd go around, we would see, let's say, a 40-acre high school campus or whatever that would be. Not only were individuals all doing their part, but they weren't always even able to see all the other things that everybody else was doing. And yet for us, it was such a privilege to go early, to circle back at the end of the weekend and see what was done, or just wandering around through the campus and see how all of these seemingly, in many cases, insignificant little acts of service were combining to make a makeover that was, in many cases, just incredible. You and I were talking about Romans and just how well that fit with that passage there.
Yeah, Romans 12, as just Paul writes, he says, you know, when you come to Christ, everyone's been given a gift. Everybody has been given according to what Christ has proportioned to you. In other words, everybody has a gift, and together those gifts make up the church. Not a strong individual gift or a couple strong individual gifts, but the whole body comes together and it can accomplish what God wants. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul will pick up on the same thing. He said, very much like your body. He said, it's one body with many different parts. The whole body can't say, I want to be the eye. You know, the eye is the cool thing. Then where would the sense of hearing be? And yet the whole body can't say, well, I want to be an ear, because where would the sense of smell be? In fact, our bodies are made up of so many different parts. And yet when it all comes together and everyone does what it's supposed to do, what amazing thing that the body can be. And Paul says, that's the picture of the church. And I tell you, last week, what for me was an incredible, incredible joy to drive around and see the church in action. Someone painting here, someone moving a wheelbarrow here, someone digging over here, someone putting a roof on over here, and all these little things come together in such a way that made such a huge, huge impact. And I just want to congratulate you and just tell you how proud I am to be part of a church like this. We had a pastor's conference this week. We're hanging out with some guys, and pastors always try to share what's going on in their church. And I just kind of sat back quietly and said, man, I got a story that's going to blow you all away. I mean, and I just said, well, here's what we did last weekend. And everyone was like, that is amazing. And I'm like, I know, I know. That's North Coast. And it's not what happened last week, but it's what's happening all year round. And that's what I'm most proud of. It's just that every single day we're averaging a service project every day of the year through all of you and your growth groups and individuals at North Coast. And that all comes together to make one huge splash.
You know, to pick up on what Chris was saying about Romans and 1 Corinthians, where we talk about the body of Christ and everybody doing their part, it's not just in service either that this shows up. You know, this was a microcosm of what it means to be salt that's out of the salt shaker and light to a world that needs that light. As we go throughout our life, maybe it's the person in the cubicle next door to us, or maybe it's our one little vote in an election, or maybe it's our act of kindness in our cul-de-sac or our apartment complex or condo or wherever it would be. We sometimes wonder, what does it really matter? But just as on that weekend when we combined and did all of these things together, no one hardly being able to see the whole, the community senses the whole. And the kingdom of God is enriched. So it's not just a service project that this principle applies to. It really applies to every single thing we do. It even applies to our areas of personal obedience. You know, a whole group of people can represent Jesus Christ really well in a community, and one church can become kind of a pit bull for Jesus and wreck it all. Or a church can have a great reputation and one person has a pit bull for Jesus, or maybe walks in sin and hypocrisy. And it's like somebody at a work project just coming along right after one of those mini murals were painted, which were, by the way, amazing. And just coming along with a brush and saying, let me help this out. And just drawing right across it and wrecking it. Together, how we work together, what we do, how we're supervised by Him, it is just amazing what can be done for the good when we listen, and actually for the bad when we don't.
Yeah. I think what we wanted to do today is give you a picture to share in, because we understand that a lot of you did some hard work. And I think a lot of you last week can realize, too. I mean, that's one thing. We went around. There was heat last week. Some of the jobs were tough. And some of you are like, this is harder than I thought. And I'm like, yeah, you signed up to serve. And
strange
and yet,
how that
it's
works.
It's the concept that loving others is difficult. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. I have to put aside my own agenda, my own desires, and loving others is hard. I mean, just plain and simple. It's why Jesus commanded it so many times. If it was easy, it wouldn't need to be commanded. You know, Jesus never commanded, Chris, you need to eat good food. And I'm like, oh, I'll do that all the time. It's like, no, you need to love others. That's going to be hard, and that's why it's commanded. And yet together, all that hard work you shared in. Like Larry said, this Tuesday is such an important day in the life
of our state and in our country as an election. It's a time we're not just as citizens, but I believe spiritually our duty to get out and once again, each one set aside time in our schedule, our agenda, and say, I'm going to do this, and collectively to make a difference. Last weekend, you made a huge difference. We have a video we want to show you. And as you watch it, whatever project you were on, I want you to understand you share in this. Many of you weren't able to be at a project for family reasons, personal reasons, health reasons, job reasons last week. I still want you to understand, as part of the body, you share in this. But we want you to hear some words from people whose lives you touched in amazing ways. And as you sit here, just to remind yourself, I share in this. This is the church. This is what it's about. And so it's going to look like this.
That you are here supporting us, painting, cleaning, fixing, all kinds of wonderful things. This is an exciting day.
This is just a wonderful blessing. We are having a lot of different projects go on, and we're really excited about it.
I'm the world's worst painter and weed picker, and putting together of anything is not my ability. And I've heard you talk about some of the stuff. You got your talents, and you should use them. And my talent is baseball, so I figured I'd try something like this. And I thought we were looking at 30 people to show up, and we had over 200 sign-ups.
So I just found out under the house back here in the cage, someone told me that you're not even from this area.
No, sir.
Where are you from?
Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And so why are you out here?
I was here for visiting my cousin.
And your cousin said today?
Yes, she said, church is going to be different today.
We've been really blessed from the work you've done so far. It's been super exciting to have painting and the landscaping, the shade structures coming along. It's just been really, really incredible. We know that this weekend of service is about giving, and we've been happy to receive.
We've really had a tired facility for a long time, and finally, collectively, with the help of boosters and booster members that are affiliated with the church, that we're able to give this a new, fresh look today. And it's really, really exciting for the kids and all the detail that's going on here. It's really a blessing.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting this much help.
You weren't?
No. It was pretty good. I think it's, I guess they took the time to, you know, put everything in, you know, in order and all that, which is real good. Very good.
So we were able to impress you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. You made it more than impressed.
It's just a blessing to have your people come and bless us this way. It means so much to us. So thank you so much for your love. It means a lot. And I love the slogan, the church has left the building. I love it.
We're offering a day of hope and encouragement. And we've invited women from shelters and recovery centers, assisted living facilities, just to come and be pampered and to be cared for and loved.
Here's what I love about Weekend of Service. Mr. Bennett here is actually the headmaster at Santa Fe Christian School, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But what are you doing today?
I'm helping out another school.
What school?
San Marcos High School.
Why are you doing that?
Serve our community, serve Christ.
I am so proud that we can make Jesus look good. I have been praying for the campus, praying for the teachers, praying for the principal, and to see all these people come and make this broken down, dilapidated campus shine, it blesses me so much. I feel honestly like God just came in and said, we are going to show this campus that Jesus is awesome. In fact, teachers have been asking me about it. We had teachers on campus saying, why are you doing this? And then we were saying, this is what Christians do.
Yeah, what a cool weekend, huh? Here's what I want to do in the balance of our time today. We want to open the scriptures, and we want to kind of put what went on last weekend, what goes on virtually every single week in our small group settings where we have various acts of service spread out throughout the community. And I want to put it into a biblical perspective. So if you've got a Bible, I'd like you to find Luke chapter 10, if you would. Luke chapter 10. And there is a note sheet inside of your worship folder that will help you to follow along. You know, there's always a little bit of a dilemma that goes on when you see the needs of the world out there. The needs are endless. So when is it time for us to take all that we have and go dig some wells in Africa where there's a drought that's killing people, or deal with the HIV crisis that's wiping out whole populations, or when is it the time to get all of our efforts into a political arena where you have an opportunity to change the culture? When is it the time and the place to empty out a major part of your bank account, as it were, to help a coworker or a friend that's in need? Because the truth of the matter is there are always huge crises all around us, right? I mean, and depending on the marketing and the pictures and the little video pieces put together, an amazing thing can happen. We can sometimes have a greater heart for that which is far away than that which is right in front of us. And yet, our weekend of service that we just did last weekend was not the second weekend of service it was the second one for North Coast Church, but there was a very first weekend of service that we want to look at. It was a weekend of service that was the idea of Jesus Christ himself. And as we look at the story around that and understand kind of what went on, get a glimpse into the priorities and how everything worked together, we will have a better way to kind of put kind of into the bucket all that God is calling us to do, and to know what to pull out and use and what to leave in that bucket for a little while later, and a better understanding of what it's all about. So, well, here's how I want to do this. I want to just kind of walk us through the story of the very first weekend of service. If you were here 18 months ago, after we'd done our first one, we looked at this passage at that time as well. And it's such an important one, it just seemed, and the only one that actually totally fits, it just seemed like the appropriate thing for us to take a look at again. It's kind of like Easter. You know, on Easter Sundays, you tend to do something about the resurrection. I don't know why, but we just tend to always find those passages. And when it comes to a service project like this, this one fits so well. So if you've got your Bibles, we're actually going to be looking mostly at Luke 10. But I want to set the stage all the way back in chapter 9, beginning at verse 51. Jesus is here getting ready to go to Jerusalem for his very last time. He knows he's going there to be killed. He knows that things are going to be passed over to his many followers, a small group that we call the apostles that he kind of handpicked and trained. And he's going to be resurrected and taken to heaven, and the baton's passed, and it's going to be their job. So a huge thing is before him, as it were, the salvation of the entire world, his death, and that last little thing that he can do to prepare them for the work that's before them. And he does some interesting things at that point. Let's pick it up in verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, total focused, dialed in, knowing exactly what he's going to do. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Some of you will remember that the Samaritans and the Jews were at great odds among each other. It was a religious and an ethnic battle that had gone on for centuries. To get to Jerusalem in the fastest way, Jesus needed to go through Samaria, because often Jews would actually skirt that area. And sometimes people would take him in and sometimes they wouldn't. Well, this time they didn't, especially knowing that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and was this, as they thought, rabbi. Look at verse 54. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, I love this, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Yeah, it's the end of his 3 years of ministry, and I don't think they got the love part down yet. Would you agree? They are called, James and John, the sons of thunder. And it's kind of for their hot-headedness that they had that nickname. What's interesting is James very quickly in the book of Acts loses his life. He becomes a martyr for Jesus Christ. That same story we looked at in our study of the book of Acts where Peter was released from prison, but James was not released from prison, and he lost his life. And John was the one who wrote the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the little letters at the back of our Bible. And what's interesting is finally he got it. Kind of like some of us had to take in college a few courses over and over until we finally got them. He got the love course eventually because he's known almost as the apostle of love, because that's really the major emphasis of all the letters that he wrote. But here at the end of 3 years, the last trip to Jerusalem, he still hasn't got it. So Jesus answers him and he says, yeah, go for it. Blow those dudes away. Oh, sorry, wrong Bible. Verse 55, Jesus turns and rebukes them, and so they just went to another village. And that mindset of going where the opportunity is going to be important as we continue through this story. Now, three little instances are put together following that kind of give a heart into what Jesus was doing. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, you know what, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Now remember, Jesus is going to his toughest assignment. He's about to pass the baton. He's going to need as many as he can to be able to take that and carry on his ministry. But he doesn't say, great, come on aboard. He does something very strange. Verse 58, he says, you better count the cost. You better know what it is I'm asking you to do before you start out and do it. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man, you know what? He has no place to lay his head. You're going to follow me? He says, I don't own anything. I don't have anything. I haven't even got a place where I'm able to lay down my head and call it my own. And then the writer, Luke, tells us another story that happened quickly on the way up there. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, you know what? Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, I know you're in church, but help me out. Does that not sound a little bit cold? Let's be honest, doesn't it? I mean, I guarantee you, if somebody came up and said, you know what? Hey, I want to help out at church, but first let me go bury my father. And I said, forget it. Let the dead bury the dead. You just come and help out right now. And word got out. You'd all be going, that was not very pastoral. I guarantee you. Well, so we hear this and we go, Jesus, what are you doing? Well, first of all, he wasn't always real Jesus-like, you know, because we got these little stereotypes of who Jesus is. And he was a bit of a wild man, as we've seen at times when we go through the scriptures. But there was something else going on here, and it was simply this. That it was a colloquial phrase when he says, first let me go back and bury my father. It meant, let me wait until my dad passes on, and then I will come. And what Jesus is simply saying here is something very important to all of us if we want to follow him. Sometimes we want to follow him because we think, man, we're following God, everything will go great. And he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, birds have their nests. I don't have any place to lay my head. Sometimes we say, you know what, I really want to follow you, but as soon as I'm through with this work crunch, as soon as I get out of college, when we fill in the blank with all of these things we first need to do, and then we'll step over that line and we'll go gung-ho with you. And Jesus' answer to us is the same answer he gave that guy then. He says, man, let those things take care of themselves. You come and you follow. Still another said, you know what, I'm going to follow you, Lord, in verse 61, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. He's kind of been hanging around. He says, let me take today we call it a time out. Let me just take a little bit of a time out, and, you know, then we'll get this thing back together. And Jesus says, that's totally cool. I'll see you when you come back. Not quite. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. We never follow the Lord because in this life, it's so excellent. The promised rewards are in eternity. And in this life, sometimes we get Abrahamed and blessed out of our socks, and sometimes we get Jobed and it's really tough. But the rewards that make it all worthwhile aren't what we judge here, they're what we judge there. And if we want to follow the Lord, it's always today, it's not tomorrow. And if we ought to follow the Lord, there are no timeouts. And Jesus was doing something very significant in this passage that we can pick up from chapter 10, verse 1. The first couple of words I have circled in my Bible to remind me to go back to the passage before. Chapter 10 says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Here's what was going on in the getting ready stage. Jesus was thinning the herd. Jesus was thinning the herd. You might think that when there's a huge project for the kingdom, the first thing that he would do is just open the nets as wide as possible, or the doors as wide as possible, and say, y'all, come on, we need every single person. But in reality, he did something very different. He thinned the herd. Why? Because ultimately, the things we do in the name of Jesus Christ are not about the specific task that we do. They're about the message that's behind the task. And Jesus didn't want a whole bunch of people that were all wired. Remember back then, they thought, oh, he's going to be the Messiah setting up his kingdom here on earth right now. He didn't want a whole lot of people who were all wired about the task and didn't understand the importance of the message or the cost that was involved in following that. So it's interesting to me that the first thing he did was thin the herd. To help you understand a little what we do around here at North Coast, that's one of the reasons when we do our weekend of service, we kind of do it as our church. You know, we could do something that says, let's just mobilize as much of the community as we can, and that would be a good thing. And there are churches and there are groups that go out and do that, and that's great for them. But when I look at this story, I'm reminded of one thing. It wasn't just to solve the problems. It was to solve the problems in a way that caused people to listen to the message. You catch that? And that's why he thinned the herd there. And that's why when we go out, that's kind of even why you have all your little weekend of service T-shirts that we gave people. Not because we're trying to say, look how cool North Coast Church is, but simply we're trying to say, this is being done in the name of Jesus Christ. And if it's not being done in the name of Jesus Christ by people who are followers of Jesus Christ, well, then there's a lot of confusion there. Because I want you to see something else. Not only in the getting ready, but in the serving others and who these 72 that were sent out were. Verse 10, after this, after he thinned the herd, the Lord appointed 72 others and he sent them out two by two to every town and place where there was a need. Is that what your Bible says? Help the boy. Not at all. He doesn't say every place there was a need. We can't meet every need out there. He said every place where he was about to go. In other words, they went ahead of Jesus. And here's the word picture you might want to write down. They weren't sent out just to do good deeds. They weren't sent out just to do good deeds and come back, all of the old Lone Ranger story, if you're old enough to remember that, where he would say, who was that mess man? But they were sent out as Jesus' advance team. When he sent them out to say, and we're going to see in a moment, I want you to heal these people. I want you to do all of these sort of things to meet all of their needs. He said, you're going to do it where I'm going to follow with a message. Now, by the way, this is really important. Jesus followed them. Every now and then there's this idea that everything we do always has to have a little card passed out with it. Or a little, well, I did something kind and loving. Now you got to sit down and listen to my spiel. Nothing could be more unbiblical and nothing could be more useless in terms of having impact upon the world. But at the same time, can you imagine if you're running around with all kinds of truth and you have no goodness? But can you imagine if you have all kinds of goodness but you have no truth? You see, they really need to go together, don't they? And they don't always go together right now. Sometimes there's years separated between living a life of kindness and goodness and somebody opening that door to ask you, give me a reason for the hope that's in you and why you live that way. But what I can guarantee is if we never do those things on the front end, no one's ever going to ask why we live like we live. And if we do those things and never even think of, I wonder if there's an opportunity to explain why we live like we live. All we've done is make life better for a few short years, and we've done nothing about the most important problem every one of us face. It's what are we going to do when we face God? How are we going to stand before a holy and a righteous God and not be toast? The only way is if we're right with God. So whenever we're out doing things, one of the things we always want to keep in mind is it's not just for its own sake, because we could never meet all of those needs. we're always asking that question, how does this reflect the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? And how does this set the stage that if the Lord opens a door, I'm going to be able to explain where it comes from? Does that make some sense? And the reason I'm emphasizing this is there's always a tendency to kind of go on two extremes. One extreme is the meet needs extreme, and the other extreme is the tell truth extreme. And both of them are pretty worthless unless they're combined together. Well, let's look a little more at this passage. They were sent out not just to do good deeds. They were sent as an advance team. So let's find out what happened. Chapter 10, verse 2. He tells them, listen, the harvest is plenty. There's all kinds of opportunity, but the workers are few. So will you ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field? And now you go. I am sending you out like what? Talk to me. Lambs among who? Wolves. Now, let me ask you this question. If you have the choice in a little a battle going on, would you rather be the lamb or the wolf? How many of you like to be the lamb? How many of you choose the wolf role? Of course. But there's something very significant in this to see. You know, sometimes we think when we go out in the name of the Lord, everything ought to work out right. Everybody ought to understand. Everything we try to do ought to come together. Everybody who was supposed to show up will show up, if you will, on a work day. You know, whatever it would be, we can think, you know what, I'm doing this for God. God is behind it. He's called me to do it. This sucker is going to fly. And we get out there and we feel like one lamb surrounded like by wolves sometimes. You ever been there? That's not that you failed. That is kind of part and parcel of the deal. In fact, that's why, as Chris mentioned earlier when we were dialoguing up here, that's why it's called sacrifice. That's why it's called a weekend of service. Because we are out going out and we are doing things just as we should be doing every day in our neighborhoods, our community, and our workplace. We are doing things and we're not always going to get back what we thought we would get back from it. We're going out, if we're doing it in the way Jesus said to go out, as lambs among the wolves. Now, with a great shepherd around us, thank you, Jesus, because we'd be in a heap of trouble. But that's how we're going out. So he says in verse 4, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. Just, boom, go and do it. And when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. And if not, it'll return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Stay dialed in, and you do your thing in your place, and it'll work out rather than running around all ADD'd as if every need out there, you know, jump one to the other. He says, just do your role. Now, this is interesting. Verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who were there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Once again, in my Bible, I've got a key word circled, and it's that word and. He tells them to go and do the service, meet the need, heal the sick who are there, and the flip side of the coin. Tell them the kingdom of God is near you. The words and the deeds. And then he says, verse 10, when you enter a town and are not welcome, I want you to go into the street and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. Kind of a strange response, if you will. He basically says, you know what, if they're not really open, go somewhere else. This ties so well to what I've been pointing out, that it's always the deeds and the words, not always connected closely, but connected in some way. And he says, basically, if no one has any interest in the words, you know they have no interest in you. He says, you know what, there are places to serve and needs to be met, where those needs are appreciated and those needs are received rather than rejected. And he says, you got all these cities kind of like Samaria. If they don't want Jesus, fine, I'll go somewhere else. Because there's lots of other towns that have their own needs. In our life, there's lots of people that have their needs. There's lots of situations that have those needs. And we evaluate them, if we're evaluating them biblically, in terms of their openness. Again, not always right now, but their openness to what we want to give in service and hopefully someday to give in truth. Now, a little very important sidebar so you hear this. Did everybody that Jesus served and healed become a follower of Jesus Christ? Help me out. Not at all. So it's not a I will if you will deal. It's about opening doors. It's not about making some sort of an exchange. I've served you, you therefore must. Be sure you get that. I don't want you to jump to that false conclusion. Now, let's jump all the way down to after they'd now gone out and done all this stuff. We pick it up in verse 17. The 72 had returned, and they are pumped. And so they are now reporting back. They'd gone out, done their good deeds. They'd been the advance team. They'd only gone where people were open, and they're so pumped. Verse 17 says this, the 72 returned with joy, and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. This is unbelievable. We have been able to heal people. We've been able to pray for people. We've been able to meet their needs. And even when we were confronted with demons, Jesus, we were able to do stuff like you were doing. How cool is that? And they probably had like a little video presentation that they all watched. And then in verse 18, Jesus says this. You know, you're right. It's incredible the advance you made for the kingdom and the advance against Satan's territory you made. Verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing's going to harm you. And then another underlinable verse. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written where? In heaven. What he's basically saying here is they return with great joy. He says, that's cool, but never forget this. The biggest problem we face is our eternity problem. The biggest problem anybody will ever face is what I call our eternity problem. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. In fact, I want you to see something. Turn over to the left a few pages and find Mark's gospel. You have Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. And find Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his what? Talk to me. Soul. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, it is a beautiful thing when people help people. And when we are out there doing acts of service, be they the little unknown things that we do in our work cubicle, our community, our apartments, our neighborhoods, whatever that would be, that's a cool thing. When anybody does a random act of kindness, that's a totally cool thing, whether they know the Lord or not. Because it is always much better to walk in mercy and to walk in justice. That's what the Lord asks of us. However, we must never forget this when we're looking at all the needs around us and trying to figure out what in the world we do. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? It's a both and. It's not just truth. And it's not just deeds. It's praying for the opportunity to put the two together. Just as Jesus Christ did when he went out and did his ministry. Now let me tie this all together with just a couple of thoughts and some things for you to maybe jot down and talk about in your growth group. On your note sheet it says this, why it needs to happen again and again. A couple of sound bites to reflect upon. First one is this. Words without good deeds lack credibility. Words without good deeds lack credibility. And by the word words, you might even write truth. It fits the same thing. If you don't have credibility, you're just a clanging gong. You're just noise. That's why later on in one of the New Testament letters, it says, if I have knowledge and I have all kinds of truth and I even have power to do miracles and all these cool things, but I don't have any sacrificial love, it says, you're like a noisy gong. What in the world? Like, what good does it do? I've been noticing the last few days at major intersections, especially at College and Oceanside Boulevard, for any of you that go there. Have you noticed a few people with signs? And there are for all different viewpoints and different candidates. You recognize that. Well, and I understand there's a political reason to do that. Otherwise, people wouldn't do it. It causes people to have a sense of like, oh, a lot of people are for this candidate or this proposition or whatever it would be. So therefore, I might be influenced by them. It just brings name recognition and awareness up. But bottom line, let's be honest, how many of you have ever been driving along an intersection where there's somebody with a placard for whatever person or thing it might be, and as you're driving along, you just said, I think I'll change my mind. Any of you ever done that? I wonder, in any of our venues or camps, you were just driving along and, you know, on Proposition Z or Candidate XYZ, that's where you were, and you saw somebody with a sign waving at you nicely, and you just went, oh, I've been wrong. I'll change. Not at all, right? And again, I understand the political reasons to do that, but I'm using that to illustrate something. Credibility comes out of relationship. See, if you're going to have a discussion with somebody on something as mundane as an election in terms of the eternal questions of life, the person who's going to influence you is the person you like. The person you think is smart, the person you think is kind. It's not going to be the idiot who looks down on you. It's not going to be the person who's never said a word to you until they came and put something in front of you and said, here's truth. You see, words without deeds lack credibility. But at the same time, good deeds without words lack eternal impact. If you're just that masked man that jumps into somebody's life and meets a need and then, who was that? I appreciate what you did, but you have no influence on how I think and how I live, and especially in the internal realm of who I follow. We need them both. Genuine spirituality loves God and loves our neighbor. That's what genuine spirituality does. When I'm really walking there, it's not that I know the Bible inside out. It's not that I'm all emotive towards God. Those are two things. I guess that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I'm loving my neighbor. Jesus summed it up. If you want to write a circle on your note sheet, Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, he said, what's the greatest commandment? He says, very simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In a passage called, it's not in your note sheet, you might want to write it down, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of us? Three simple things. That we do justice. That in everything we have input on, we're doing justice. That we love mercy. We're not cold-hearted. We see a need, we meet it. And we walk humbly before our Lord, which today we'd call walking in obedience. You got this whole big old book. You're new at this stuff, trying to figure out, where do I go? What do I do? I'll tell you. Everywhere you know to do justice, do the just thing. Everywhere you see a need, love mercy. And everything you know to do, do. Walk humbly. Three little statements. You got it all right here. Two little rules, Jesus says, sums up everything in this. Love God, which means we keep His commandments, or our words are empty. And love our neighbor as we love ourselves. He says, bingo. You got it all right there. That means we need obedience and compassion, doesn't it? We need to have them both. And that's what we're trying to do here at North Coast. Become a church that more and more and day by day gets better and better at teaching the Word of God in a way that's understandable so we obey it and lives out the Word of God in a way that is full of love and compassion. And when we put those two things together, we're the church that God wants us to be. You're the growth group that God wants you to be. And we're the individuals that God has called us to be. I want to leave you with this little statement. What we do throughout the year is far more important than anything we do on a weekend. It is so cool when every 18 months or so we cancel church and we go out and do all this kind of stuff. But what is way more important is all the little acts that our growth groups do throughout a year that combine together end up almost a couple a day. What's much more important is the stuff that nobody even knows about that you do in your workplace, in your neighborhood, among your extended family and your family. That's what makes a difference. And as we marry the two together, truth with love, loving God, loving others, we become the men and women the Lord has called us to be. And we become true salt and light to a world that needs it. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts and grow us more and more in the sense of what it means to be balanced. And not just full of truth, and not just full of compassion, but full of whichever one is needed at that very moment for your glory and your honor and the impact of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's study from God's Word. Pastor Larry will return in a moment with some final comments. For more information, or if you'd like additional copies, please contact us at area code 760-724-6700. Our mailing address is North Coast Church, 1132 North Melrose Drive, Vista, California, 92083. Or visit our website at www.northcoastchurch.com. Now here's Pastor Larry.
And as you go, I want to remind you of something. We are in a very privileged time. You do realize throughout most of history, Christians have not been allowed to have much of a voice at all in government or what goes on. We live in this little blip of history in a country where we have the privilege of voting. And we want to remind you that next Tuesday, it's very, very important that you vote. It's essential that, especially, please don't complain if you didn't vote about anything. I don't think we realize what a great privilege it is. And here at North Coast, we don't mobilize for candidates or for issues. We try to teach you how to grow up, to think, and to live like Jesus Christ. And that's what we ask you to do, to go into that ballot box and take that little privilege, even if it feels like, you know what, who knows whether it's making any difference or not. It's just one vote. It's like that weekend of service. It's just one little set of weeds. It's the role and the opportunity you have. And make sure you go into that ballot box. And you go in with the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking what moves towards righteousness, what moves towards truth, and you vote that way. But I want to tell you something on Wednesday, too. Don't forget, whether your favorite candidate, your favorite proposition, your favorite school board thing, your favorite bond issue, whatever it would be, whether it wins or loses, there is a king that is greater than it all. Do not forget it. God bless. We'll see you next week.